Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Welcome to Don't Give Up Your Daydream, Transitions in a Transitioning World. Hello, I'm your host, John Knuckle. I'm a private equity advisor slash author slash radio host. Welcome, my fellow creative professionals, to Don't Give Up Your Daydream, where creativity and drive meet experience and guidance. Our goal is to introduce you to guests who have gone through major transitions in their lives or careers and have landed in a better place. All of them have kept their creativity alive, and that has been vital to their success. Today, we welcome Betsy Muller. Betsy is a best-selling author, professional public speaker, holistic coach, event leader, and practitioner of emotional freedom techniques. Yes, she's a busy woman. We will get to all of this and much more when we return with Betsy after these brief words.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics could be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
Welcome back to Don't Give Up Your Daydream. I'm John Knuckle, and we are here with our guest, Betsy Muller. Welcome, Betsy. How are you?
I'm doing great, John. And guess what I just did before we started this call?
I don't know.
I finished your short story, The Victory
Grill. Oh, my
goodness. And it's fabulous.
Oh, that's so nice.
Anybody listening to this needs to pick up a copy of it, because you can read it very quickly, too.
Yeah.
Well done, John.
Oh, that's so very nice. Thank you. Enough about me. Let's talk about you for a little while.
Okay.
Now, you're doing so many things, and you're helping so many people. Just give us briefly, holistic coach, practitioner of freedom techniques. Give us a little more detail about that, if you don't mind.
Okay. I help people find who they really are, to love themselves, to connect with the right connections, and to get clarity about why they are really living on planet Earth right now. And, you know, I do that a lot of different ways. Sometimes I take people away for a whole weekend on a retreat, and we give them lots of resources and new friends and activities. I also do private coaching. So you mentioned I'm a practitioner of emotional freedom techniques, or EFT. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's called tapping. It's a really, really fast, easy way to shift your beliefs and your thoughts and actually your confidence, build confidence up. So I do private sessions with people actually all over the world, by phone, by Skype. Also, I have clients that come to my office. And then I'm a professional speaker, so I really enjoy teaching, training, training people in emotional freedom techniques, but also kind of on the theme of life balance, how to really, as you get older, age well, to get your whole life aligned with what you really love. And and the topic that we're probably talking a lot about today, because we have it in common, is to really help people be creators and have like lives that they love and that creativity that, that touches other people's lives, that gives them a jolt of happiness when they've created it and can possibly even, you know, make for a source of income, maybe a big income. I coach people on writing books. I guess I should say that too, because a lot of my clients are creative or creative wannabes. And they have these dreams of doing things. And actually, you know, I hired a coach years ago to help me get my first book off the ground, because I hate writing, John.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm a best-selling author. I've written several books. I don't know about you, but I can't sit in a chair very long. So
yeah.
I paid a lady a lot of money to help me get that book done.
Wow. Yeah. But, you know, you have to do what's right for you. Everyone has different skills and different talents. And you have to find a way to get it done.
Right.
Now you didn't start out in this field. This has been a journey for you. Can you share with us like how the journey started and how this all came about?
Well, sometimes I wonder, how did I start the way I did and make a total reversal in the direction of my career? I think it really comes back to me being pretty smart. Like whatever I did, I could be really good at.
Yeah.
And an example of that, when I'm in high school, I mean, I was straight A's, I was acing everything, and I was a musician, and so when it came time to go to college, my dad just says, well, you should be a doctor because you got good grades, and I said, well, okay, so I became a chemistry major, got a minor in business, because I thought business was cool too, and then when it came time to go to medical school, I probably could have gotten in, but I realized I hated blood and I wasn't big on drugs, and I told my dad I'm not going to do that. But here I was with a chemistry degree, so I ended up going to work for PPG Industries as a research chemist, and then I got my MBA while I was working in that job, and got hired by BP Oil, Standard Oil Company, and worked for 12 years for them in all sorts of roles. They would promote you every few years, and actually every few months. It was a roller coaster. And then in the middle of all that, I had two children.
Oh,
and
boy.
That really made me think about, you know, what am I doing? Because, you're a parent too, and having a career and little kids and a two-career family, it really was getting physically hard for me.
Yeah.
And so when they offered a chance for buyouts, I was in the first line with my hand up really high, like, get me off this treadmill.
Yeah,
but I immediately got another job. I got into healthcare at that time, and I worked for a local hospital, helping them with corporate programs, you know, for companies in the area.
Yeah.
And then from there, I worked for a physician who had a private practice, group medical practice, and I ran her medical practice for 5 years before I had this awakening.
Changed my whole thing. You went through a litany of different jobs and things that would be entire careers for some people. Why is it that were you restless, or are you just always striving for something different, or circumstances
I think I was good at a lot of stuff, and I really wasn't sure. You know, I let myself become so busy serving other people that I didn't take the time to really think about, well, what am I really here to do? And I think part of it was that I was involved with being a parent. That was definitely part of my life plan, to have children, no doubt about it. But I, you know, looking back, I think I was really being a people pleaser, and I hadn't taken the time to really think about what I really wanted to do. And when you're good at everything, people will sign you up to help them because they see, oh, well, she could do this, and I just, okay. You know,
all of a sudden
trying
you're
to
on
keep
the PTA
peace.
And you're doing this and doing that. You're not doing anything for yourself.
Right. And I'm a highly productive person. I mean, I can multitask and juggle all sorts of things and do it really well. But, you know, I think what really brought me to this, what do we call it, this come to Jesus moment, if you want to call it, like, what the heck is going on? And actually to stop and eventually quit my job and start all the way over. You know, what got me to that place was actually physical. I started feeling really tired in the morning. I'd get out of bed, and some days I could hardly walk. I mean, and I, you know, I work out and everything, but I thought to myself, you know, I can't keep this up. I'm feeling, like, drained and kind of sad, too. I mean, it got to a point where it was starting to be a burden, and I thought, am I really, you know, is this what aging is? And is this all there is, you know? Maybe you had that moment, too.
No, I know.
So, should we tell them what happened? What changed it? Yeah, well, I had
tell me everything you got.
Okay. I had this chance to go to Switzerland.
I booked
my boss for a speaking engagement in Switzerland. And big mouth me, one day I'm sitting there with her, all excited about her trip to Switzerland, and I just said, well, I should come along with you. And she said,
why not?
Well, that's a good idea. And then I thought, well, that's silly. I got two kids at home. I couldn't leave my husband for, you know, 10 days. But anyway, then I opened my mouth again when I'm out to dinner with my parents and my husband, and I said, I have, you know, isn't this ridiculous? Dr. Tenpenny wants me to come with her to Switzerland. That's ridiculous. And my husband goes, no, it's not. You should go.
Yeah.
And then my dad, he shouted, I have thousands of frequent flyer points that are about to expire.
Wow.
You're going to
get
them, and you're going to go first class. Wow. So what do you say when that gets dropped in your lap? So I went to Switzerland, and I flew first class, and I ended up there. And the minute I walked, I didn't know what the meeting was. I mean, it's so silly. I didn't know what I was going. And I go into this meeting, and I immediately felt like I'd come home. There were people from all over the world. It was an energy psychology meeting. I didn't know what that was or what it meant, but I bonded with the people, and I started going to all these workshops. And that is the place where I learned and tried emotional freedom techniques for the first time. And it physically, like, just grabbed me. I felt it. Like, you know, it was like being in an earthquake or something. It got my attention. It was
profound. We're going to obviously get pretty deep into this. But I do want to, because, see, what just happened was very profound, what you just said. And listeners should try to pick it apart a little bit, because a lot of the things that you did organically are lessons we try to tell our listeners to pay attention to and listen. One is you weren't afraid to ask for help. You asked. You said it to, you know, so many people are shy or intimidated and not willing to ask, you know, I want to go do this. And lo and behold, look, you got frequent flyer miles. Your husband said he supported you to do it. You're there to try to embrace something new. So many people get stuck in a rut. And, I mean, you know, just say with me, with writing, my first book, no one even cared about. So I just published it myself and ends up winning a literary award. And nothing, if I had just kept sending letters the traditional way, probably nothing would have ever happened.
Right.
So you did all these things organically that, you know, people really need to listen to and you know, take action. It's very important.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, you know, and sometimes things seem so subtle and, you know, and you look up and you say, you know, something catches your attention, but then you might be too quick to dismiss it instead of staying with it and saying, why did this get my attention? You know, those moments that I blurted things out, you know, it's funny how I just feel like I was being pulled to that place in Switzerland. So many very interesting things happened at that meeting, and I made friends at that meeting that I am very closely professionally associated with now. And that was in 2001. I should tell your listeners that I went. That's when I went. I learned emotional freedom techniques. I actually had a healing after that on the airplane, coming back, seated in first class next to one of the presenters that taught me emotional freedom techniques
while
I was there. And it was big. And
how was your walking after that? Were you walking a little bit better?
When I got out of bed?
It felt like you could hardly walk. Now,
You know what? I mean, coming back from that meeting stirred up a whole bunch of just like, what is going on? Because a lot of things started happening to me I was having synchronicities.
Everything was
insane. Having unusual coincidences, and that is also a sign that creativity is coming after you.
Yeah,
you know, resources land in your lap. You suddenly have a chance to take a new class. You suddenly get introduced to another new friend. You know, the meeting I went to in Switzerland was in 2001. I didn't quit my job till 2005. I struggled to understand how does this integrate into my life as a medical practice manager. And I kept saying, well, I'm a healer. I'm running a medical practice. I'm helping people that way. I'm very essential here. But as time wore on, and yes, it kept getting harder to get out of bed, even after learning this wonderful technique, because I was being drained. My energy, and, you know, some people find that word energy very uncomfortable, but just think about it, you know, just your will to get up and do stuff. It was it was draining.
I know.
I was in the wrong place, and I had to finally resign without even really knowing what I was going to do next. But I knew I had to get out of there.
Yeah.
And sometimes people get fired when you know, in times like this, because I think we actually attract these opportunities to do something else.
Yeah.
I think they find us if we don't do them. I probably would have ended up getting sick if I would have stayed there much longer, because it was very clear I wasn't supposed to be in that old job. But I learned how to run a small business. That's what that job taught me.
That's a valuable tool. Yeah.
And, you know, all of my jobs along the line taught me things that I use today in my business. So it was not lost time. And also, I have to say, I mean, it helped me amass enough money to make that transition without freaking out, you know, about my livelihood and my family. And the timing, too. My kids were older, so I could jump off and have a business. So,
it's a scary thing to do, but I will say that as long as you know financially you're okay to do it. I would never advocate people just quit your job and move to a cabin because you're going to start writing poetry. I don't think that's wise.
And oftentimes, a lot of people come to me and, you know, as a coach, because they know I've done it, and they're ready to just leave their job. And, you know, here they are. They've got a decent job. They've got benefits. You know, if they're not completely miserable in that job, oftentimes what I'm doing as a coach is coaching them on a way to enrich their life and stay in that job, because they're missing the opportunities outside. You know, your job doesn't take over all your life. You've got weekend, you've got evenings, maybe you got some time before work, that you could do some of those things that you claim you have to put off forever. Maybe you don't.
Yeah, no, that's very true. That's very true. And every one of my guests so many common threads. But, you know, the waking up at 4:30 in the morning to get your writing done before you go to work and things like that. And sometimes it just takes a lot of hard work. that's the simple part. But it's having the advice from someone like yourself and the guidance on how to go about it. Now, do a lot of people come to you for advice on how to, start a business or how to
Actually, they do.
And turn it into something that's viable that they could do for a living.
Yeah, a lot of people hire me or actually have a consultation with me, even if they don't hire me to work directly with them, you know, about starting a holistic practice of some sort, Mm-hmm. And actually, I coach some people that want to get into speaking, too, because I'm a member of National Speakers Association. I've been speaking professionally for over 10 years. Okay. And people may, you know, they recognize they have some expertise. They want to get out in front of audiences.
Yeah.
That's not as easy as you think it is, especially to make money out the gate.
Yes.
You know, you have to have a track record. So I can help.
Yes.
I can help them put that together, and actually a lot of your listeners may be authors, and they want to go out and speak about their book.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, speaking is one of the best ways to make money on your book, because the books don't, I don't know about you, John, but a book alone does not make for a wealthy person unless you've got huge publicity and backing behind you, a national kind of publisher. So speaking is a way to, and speaking and coaching is a way to leverage that and also serve your readers. And so I help people with that now and then, because there are some basic practices that allow people that want to go that direction to get up to speed fairly quickly, and professional organizations, too, that
I will tell you from my experience with speaking, you know, when I went about it, everything is, you know, like yourself and like so many people, it's such a work in progress and two steps forward and one step back kind of thing. But I started the speaking just as a book reading and, you know, people listen and, oh, that was nice. So for my last speaking event, what I did was I just told the story of a certain chapter in the book without the book.
Mm-hmm.
And it became, all of a sudden, it became something, you know, and that's what led to this show, actually, because I've told the story on the show before where someone came up to me afterwards and said, your story inspired me to start playing the saxophone again. I don't care what my wife says. So,
cool.
You know, I thought that's great in two ways. Number one, I'm helping bring music in the world. And number two, I'm aggravating a woman that isn't my wife for change. So I thought that was good. But that whole idea of not giving up your daydream and finding a way, I guess, to put it to words and put it to action all came from, you know, just another book reading. So it is
right.
There is a lot to that. There really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, we're going to – I want to tell you one a story before we go to break that's totally off script. This just happened Saturday night. Now, we spoke last week to prep for the show. Saturday night, I'm at a party, and I'm speaking to a gentleman who's a therapist, a psychologist, psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
He asked me, you know, about myself. I said, I'm doing this radio show. I said, I have my next guest is a professional at the Emotional Freedom Techniques. He goes, really? He comes over. Not only does he sit next to me, but there are no seats available. I'm on the couch. He sits on the floor at my feet. Tell me all about this. Tell me about what she does, because I know it's based in acupuncture. I know it's this. I know it's that. It was so exciting to this, you know, and you know, a professional. So can you tell, just a little before we go to break, it's sort of semi-based on acupuncture?
It's based on the principles of acupuncture combined with the principles of cognitive therapy, actually, you know, talking about what your problem is.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's physical pain or embarrassment or lack of confidence or a crummy relationship, it's talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
But as you talk about it, you're accessing these balance points on your body, which are endpoints of meridians. And meridians are the acupuncture flows. Meridians allow the movement of energy in your body. And believe me, there are actually technologies now that can measure and see these tubule kind of things. So it's a little mysterious now, but the Chinese mapped it out thousands of years ago. I don't know how they did it back then. But we tap on these specific points while we hold a focused thought, and we speak words acknowledging our trouble.
Okay.
And or a specific memory is actually the best way this works. But as you tap on these points, it calms you. One of the clinical studies that was done actually proved that your cortisol level or your stress hormone level goes down as you tap these points.
Yeah.
And when you combine that with that focused thought and intention, you neutralize pain. You neutralize distress. You neutralize stress, and then you're in this place to make choices. The cool thing about it is you really feel it. Like, you can feel a real release fairly quickly, like within one to two minutes, without talking at length about anything embarrassing or specific. Mm-hmm. As long as you're holding the thought and you're just using a very simple reminder phrase or something.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool because people, once they learn it, they can apply it privately to anything. Whether you're trying to run a marathon faster, whether you want to get over being sweaty on the stage when you speak,
mm-hmm.
you know, like nervous, or whether you want to appear more positive. Actually, you can use it for physical pain. It works very well for headaches and back. So, you know, it's funny how it came into my life at a time I was aware of being kind of physically not feeling so good. But I think overall it's allowed me to be very brave as a business owner and a leader in my field. Yeah.
You know, I find a lot of this very timely also, because I know there's you had mentioned this when we spoke last week. There's this trend towards people are adults are coloring, adult coloring books.
Yes.
I think that's a great. We bought those for my daughter and sent it off to her.
Uh-huh.
I think it's very good.
I tell all my weight loss clients, those coloring books, you can't eat while you're coloring. It's a great weight loss tool.
But it enables you to you know, just sit and be still and do something creative. It's really great.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to dive more into this, and we're going to talk about a lot of other things, but we're going to cut to a commercial for a couple minutes, and we will be right back with Betsy Mahler.
Okay. What's wrong?
Oh, it's the bridesmaids' dresses for Lindsay's wedding.
Oh, no. Tell me they're not fuchsia.
Oh, they're not fuchsia.
Then what? Oh, they're gaudy, aren't they? All ruffles and lace. Great. We'll look like a chorus line.
No. They're really quite simple. It's the material I'm most concerned about.
Oh, I knew it. I specifically said no chiffon. I mean, it's so passe. I just don't think...
It's not chiffon.
Then what?
They're made out of old yellow pages.
What? I didn't catch that. It sounded like you said they're made out of old yellow pages.
Yep. I'm afraid you heard right. It's got something to do with recycling and good karma on her wedding day.
Oh, that's special. I'm not going to know whether a guy's checking me out or just looking for the number of a good mechanic.
Funny. Very funny.
There's a better way to recycle your outdated Dex phone books. Find out just how easy we've made it in your neighborhood. Call 1-877-2-GET-DEX or log on to DexKnows.com.
Hey, welcome back to Don't Give Up Your Daydream. We're here with Betsy Mahler. Hey, Bets.
Hey, John.
Hey. Let me ask you a question. So a client comes, wants to work with you. What? How do you work individually with the client? That would be a good question.
Okay. Well, the process begins with a phone call to find out if they're the right client for me. And actually, that's a no-charge call. I screen everybody who wants to learn more, because some people aren't ideal clients for me. And also, I want to listen to see what it is that they're trying to create, what goals they would have for coaching, you know, what kind of project am I going to be helping them with. And, you know, it can be a lot of different things, because my expertise is a lot. I can handle a pretty wide bandwidth of what a client needs. But I need to be assured that they don't need high-level mental health assistance, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And some people have been seriously traumatized, and while emotional freedom techniques would work well for them, they should be working with a licensed person and not for me. But let's talk about maybe somebody I just recently worked with. I worked with somebody who is a medical professional. This person has had a history of I guess, relationships that haven't worked out, and she's feeling drained. She's feeling, and actually she's in the middle of starting maybe a new career path, and she's wanting to make it better, this new start, and trying to get rid of some of the debris of needing to forgiving herself, forgiving the other people, actually setting up boundaries, because some of the people from her past are still bothering her in some ways, or coming back in even after she thought she'd closed the door. So that's an example of maybe one kind of client. Other kind of clients I'm working with on projects, you know, people that are in the middle of a business, maybe doing a book launch. I help connect them with good partners. And when we do a book launch, a lot of the most successful people out there have friends that help get the word out with social media. I've also helped people get over their personal fears of social media so that they can promote their business better. Actually, I'm as you know, John, because we're connected on social media, I love using social media. I love face-to-face. I help people balance that face-to-face versus social media world. You know, and radio, like what we're doing here, is kind of a nice in-between, too, because it's a little more personal, you know. We're talking off the cuff here and help people, you know, leverage radio, video, writing, blogging, social media, and, you know, how you operate in the real world. Where do you put yourself? Where don't you go? And managing your time properly. So it's about focus. It's about aging. Sometimes I'm working with people on health issues. I'm working with a guy right now who's has a history of Lyme's disease and, you know, is trying to come back to be creative, to get back to things that used to really make him happy. And his illness took it away from him. And, you know, so kind of to heal the pain of those lost years, to forgive that and move on, and also to feel better, to really operate with new purpose and feel good about what he's going to do next.
Wow, that's pretty comprehensive. After we go off the air, we're going to call you. Listen.
I never know who's going to call me. It's funny because I am an internet kind of person. And when people, I'm on several different directories of emotional freedom techniques practitioners, and people just find me and they call. Sometimes I'm not the right person for them, too. I do have psychiatrists and licensed people I send people to because I can tell pretty quickly. If it's out of my realm, I don't try to fix everybody.
You know, me as a financial advisor, if people have tax problems, I refer them to an accountant since I'm not a CPA. But you did touch on something that is another big lesson that in virtually every one of these shows now someone has brought up, and you were talking about social media, and that is for creative people who are trying to make this transition in their life is embracing new technology.
Absolutely.
So many people think they get intimidated, or they think that word of mouth or just the handshake is going to do it. It's not going to do it anymore. You have to embrace this new technology, and you have to be a part of it. You really do.
And you got to get over that fear that people are going to know you. I don't know about you, but when I first got into this, there was this hesitation actually with my first book, because my book Energy Makeover has a lot of my own personal stories in it. And I remember the first couple of weeks that book was out, came out before I was getting like feedback from readers back, I was terrified. And for some reason, John, I thought my own head was saying people will hate me. Like, wow. Because I admitted a few things in there about what I believed that mm-hmm. aren't quite in alignment with, and I'm raised in the Christian church, and, you know, I've come to this point where I'll just say it right out front, and people can hate me if they want, but I believe in reincarnation now.
Okay.
And because of some things that have happened in my life and as a practitioner that could only be explained by reincarnation. So, but, you know, I had some years of being very conflicted about that. And, I admit it in my book. I actually share some of that. But I felt that the whole world was going to turn against me because I actually admitted it. But as it turned out, I think a lot more people really do believe that might be possible, and I connected with the right people. You know, I'm not here to serve the people that are stuck in old belief systems. I'm really the person that fits well with someone who has an open mind and who is curious. I think that's one of my favorite words. I work with curious, curious creative people.
This all goes towards the idea of being out there and doing these things. Like you mentioned my short story at the beginning of the show. A lot of that was based on when my mother passed away, watching her have what was a legitimate conversation with my grandmother, with her mother. They were talking, you know. It wasn't just, her speaking. You know, there was the pause, there was a wait, there was a reaction. So she was having a conversation with her dead mother. So, and when you're out there and you're living life, you come across these things and... it's your life. It's what you think. That's all that matters, you know?
Well, yeah, and I guess I might as well admit, sometimes I have special training working with the spirit world, too. And sometimes people are creatively shut down because there's some, shall we say, not so good ghosty stuff hanging around, draining them.
Oh, bad things.
Or in their home or whatever. So on occasion, I help people clear that out too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Those are special cases, and I'm not afraid to do that anymore. I think things happen and come to you when you're ready, and that came along about 5 years into my new business. I don't know. Maybe we've gotten too deep now. We're really down the rabbit hole, aren't we?
No, that's good. I like
your
this.
Listeners know that they're that I'm not
okay,
your regular
let me
coach.
Ask, now, well, when I took notes, I do this when I take notes with a potential guest or an upcoming guest. Circle one phrase or something because it's a phrase, but it's really a thought that I want to expand upon. And the one I did with you were the words "be still." You said you teach people how to be still. I want to hear about that because that's important.
Okay. That's interesting because, as I mentioned before, I don't sit still very well. But when we say be still, it's really a different – to me, being still is different. Being still is about pausing.
Okay.
Pausing, listening, feeling, hearing, touching, tasting, and just letting the present moment – inspire,
mm-hmm.
fuel you,
mm-hmm.
And maybe just to be okay with it. The whole process that I use with everybody is to accept what is and to see what's there.
Mm-hmm.
Again, be curious. And actually being still, even if you're in incredible pain, to be present to your pain.
Yeah.
And then from that place to say, what would I rather have? What would I choose if I could choose, you know, as a creator? You're a creator, and I'm a creator, and everybody listening to this is a creator, believe it or not. We all create different things. We are all actually here to create. And one of my favorite statements, I don't know who wrote this, it says, pain pushes, passion pulls. And being still lets you be present to the energy that's dominating your situation. Are you being pulled or are you being pushed? It's a lot nicer. You know, and think about it like a stream, you know. Mm-hmm. Are you swimming against the stream, or are you letting the stream pull you down, pull you along, you know? Yeah. I think probably you've noticed times in your life where it seemed like everything was such a fight.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you're fighting, you're using up energy, maybe not for the right thing. When you stop, when you pause and you're able to be still, I think you can get back into the stream, the flow. And I really think about creativity as a flow. It's like there's these little streams all around you.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these choices.
Yeah.
And there's actually some streams that have your name on it. That's the one you can jump into. But you have to stop for a minute to catch that stream. You can't keep doing what you're doing at 100 miles per hour and know what stream to jump into.
Oh, I know. So many people get so hung up, and some people enjoy swimming upstream.
Oh, yeah. They're addicted to that.
They'll grab onto a branch just to stay in the white water, you know, instead of just letting go and you know, going down the stream.
And doing anything other than that is an identity crisis for them, because they've become identified with thrashing and, you know, swimming the wrong way.
Yep.
Until they stop, and actually usually it's some sort of big crisis will stop them. It'll be a health issue or
something
catastrophic, and they might wake up and realize what they've created is not working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
yeah.
I know. Well, I know so many people who, you know, because working downtown and all that, so many people at 9/11 was the event where, you know, not the event itself, but slowly but surely their lives changed because they saw the, you know, the value of being still, the value of being present.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. And actually, John, if you know any of those people that are still struggling with some of those memories of 9/11, emotional freedom techniques is absolutely out of this world to create more peace with that memory that gets coded in every cell of your body. I mean, you know, there were visuals, there were sounds, there were smells.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And to really neutralize that, to get it to a place that's not so, I mean, it was a horrible thing.
Yeah.
And I can't even imagine what it would have been like for you being right there on the scene.
I
would urge anybody out there, you know.
Oh, I know.
There's something called the World Tapping Summit going on right now, which is a big free online event. And, you know, if people are curious, that would be one great way to get started to learn more about emotional freedom techniques.
But then on the other side, see, this is, I guess it's how you have to channel this creative, this way. I'm such a big believer in this creative thought and, you know, where you can take your creativity, use an event like that to become the catalyst to do something. You know, obviously that's when I started writing. That's when I decided for myself, I started taking a writing class at night, you know, and like you with having kids, you know, we had kids and here I am taking extra time at night on a weeknight if my wife was working late and we had to hire a nanny and all of that stuff. But, you know, sometimes you have to do it. You really do.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Think
yeah.
what that
yeah.
started. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Now, You run a business, there's another thing I want to ask you about. You said something about having people think about what they were like when they were 8 years old. I love that. I love that too. Can you go into that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean that's one of the principles. I would encourage your listeners, if they're not already familiar with a book called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, to get that book, because one of the exercises in that book asks you to write about what you were like when you were an eight-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a great exercise to help open up who you are, because you are the same person as you were when you were 8 years old. And actually, when you were eight, you were less inclined to edit and dismiss things that you were, like, all excited about. So I don't know about you, when I was that age, I was really excited about art and being outside and catching tadpoles and mm-hmm. and hanging out with my friend Lisa, and I always liked humor, and I really liked music, and, you know, the things that I loved back then, even your favorite colors, your favorite foods, what your room looked like when you yeah. were 8 years old. I mean, there's all these clues. What kind of books were you reading? Not because mm-hmm. somebody told you you had to, but what, you know, what caught your attention?
Yeah,
and sure. even beyond that 8 year old, I would challenge anybody to think about right now, you know, someone puts a newspaper or a book down in front of you or a magazine. Which part of the newspaper or the magazine do you want to read the most? Like if you only had 5 minutes with that newspaper, would you really, you know, would you go to the financial section? Would you go to the fashion section?
Yeah,
would you go
yeah.
to the food area or the section about books? You know, that tells you a lot about where your natural tendencies of ease
mm-hmm.
are
mm-hmm.
as a creator,
mm-hmm.
what you're interested in, and
yeah.
you know that shows you the way to your people, your tribe, you know.
Yeah. yeah.
So and then if you're not sure about your tribe, like think about me. I didn't know about all this tapping. Didn't even really exist.
Uh-huh.
I go to this meeting, I try it, and I am so jazzed up about this stuff from the first time, and then I realize that I'm kinesthetic. I have this talent for feeling things through my body that I never knew. I'm 46 years old. I didn't know it till then.
Uh-huh.
That's like crazy. How
yeah.
did I not know that about myself? But one experience can open that up suddenly. So maybe it's a pottery class. Maybe it's going to yoga and deciding
Absolutely.
To be a yoga teacher.
Absolutely.
Who knows? Who knows?
So you're so much more well-versed in this. You know, I'm just like a hack writer who has a radio show. But this is what I always say, is that once you start tapping into your creativity, you will not only have something to do every day, but you always have something you want to do. And
right.
that's such a gift. It really is. You know, I have days where if I have time off or it's slow, you know, in the summer, the financial industry is slow. You know, I mean, I love it. I just write and write and write
mm-hmm.
and write, you know? That's what's really good about it also. It is.
Yeah.
It's like giving yourself a treat. And some people don't feel that they can do this for themselves. Like they feel selfish to spend time writing or spend time learning something new or, you know, people in your circumstance wouldn't take the risk to go off and start this practice because they feel some sense of responsibility to others or something. Those are usually just excuses, though, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, Julie Cameron in The Artist's Way urges creative people to take at least an hour every week to go take themselves on an artist date. And that can be very hard. I've led a lot of Artist's Way groups. Over the years, probably over 10 of them. And a lot of people have a real problem with that. But actually, you take yourself somewhere like a museum or a park.
Yeah.
You don't bring anybody with you. You're not allowed to have a buddy along. You have to really do it by yourself because that's how you make sure it's your choice and you're not going along because you're
mm-hmm.
being nice or someone else wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very transformative process for creative people or somebody who's unhappy. I would say anybody who's unhappy with their life needs to experiment with those artist dates. Could be one of the best things you ever do. And taking a class could be your artist date. It's just you can't sign up with a friend. You have to go by yourself.
I think that's great. That's
and
good
and meet new friends.
Really?
You know, sometimes if you go with a friend, you won't meet new friends. And
that's
I think
true.
That's part of this. I'm sure you have new friends now you didn't have before.
Oh, yeah.
And I definitely do because I got out of my comfort zone. Went to some new places by myself.
Yeah, yeah. It's, and another thing, getting back to the social media, it's so much easier now than it used to be. Like
mm-hmm.
you could go on to Facebook and say, hey, listen, anyone out there can recommend a museum or a gallery or something from that is new that I don't know about. Anybody know of any great movies or anybody know of any good off-Broadway shows or local
right.
theater?
And you can get that for anywhere in the world. I had a friend going to Amsterdam last week, and he put up on social media, said, I have 3 days in Amsterdam. What are the must-do, can't-miss things I've got to do? And immediately the whole feed was filled with great ideas. And he actually did it, and then he posted all his great pictures to prove that he took their advice. It was amazing. I want to go to Amsterdam now.
I just thought of this as another thing from left field, but I love when we go in this direction. You just mentioned SM. I mentioned the Van Gogh
exhibit,
Van Gogh Museum. Okay.
Yeah.
So we were there. Me and my wife were there, and forgive my ignorance. I don't know the name of the painting, but it's a series of paintings when he was staying at his friend's farmhouse. And this is about being still. This is about being still.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at the painting, and in the painting is a rose petal. And it was just, it was so small, but, you know, with his style, how it juts out from the painting, you know. And it was just a perfectly shaped rose. And I stood there thinking, I must have been there for 20 minutes thinking, did that take him a month, or did it take a second? You know, did he just flick his wrist and make it, or did he build that and craft it? It was, you know, half the size of a dime. And I just stood staring at that one little globule of paint for 20 minutes. It was just remarkable. Mm-hmm. It really was.
Oh, good for you, John.
Yeah, yeah. So that's
Van Gogh would be proud that you saw that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, now, I'm going to ask you. Someone comes to you, they just lost their job, they lost their way, bad relationship, or whatever it may be, they're a sort of a lost soul, and they come to you. What is there a checklist? Is there a method that you use? Or how do you deal with these people?
Well, my son just lost his job last week, so this seems like a very, very relevant question. But, you know, I think, first of all, I want to make sure that they know the parameters of their loss, too.
Mm-hmm.
When's this going to happen? How much time do you have? Do you have savings? You know, are they giving you career help? What's the status of your resume, your LinkedIn profile? I mean, I get really practical easy. What are you going to do about healthcare? Because I've advised people many times in this. And then we talk about, I think the next question is, what do you want? What do you love? What are your talents? What are your dreams?
Mm-hmm.
Who's out there to help you? Who do you know? Who would you like to know? Are you on social media? Are you afraid to ask for help?
Yeah.
Would you like my help asking for help? And also, oftentimes when they've lost their job, that moment that they got that information is a trauma experience.
Oh, yeah.
And I remind people that you do not want to carry that trauma from losing your job to your next job interview. Would you like my help in neutralizing that before and building your confidence for your job interview? Everybody's different. If they're thinking of starting a business, that's one route to take. If they're thinking about moving to the next job, that's a different route, okay? So I would explore that with somebody. What do you really see, or do you want to keep all those doors open? A lot of people aren't really comfortable with going into self-employment and probably shouldn't, because they need a lot of self-discipline. If they're not self-disciplined, I would never advise that. But what we can do is we can find the job that fits them better, that they're fully qualified for. We can get them ready to interview with their head held high, high confidence. And you know, I think everybody creates this cloud of information around them. Call it energy, call it whatever you want. We got to fill that cloud around each person with the right stuff to attract the next thing. Because the law of attraction is very real. I see it operating all the time. And, you know, don't let them sink into isolation. Keep them connected. I just helped a lady, actually, this lady. She came to one of my seminars in grief. I didn't know what she was grieving. She was like all hunched over, very sad. It was almost like she had that dark cloud around her.
Mm-hmm.
And she wouldn't say what she was working on during the group seminar, but she hired me. She called me for a consult. She actually told me what was going on with her. She was grieving the loss of a dog. She's a single mm-hmm. lady. Her dog died, and she's just devastated. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up helping her, you know, because she was really lonely and sad. We worked on that loss of the dog. And then from there, she started working on her relationship with her mother because there were some things there. She didn't have a dad growing up. So, you know, there was some sadness there. And in the middle of all this, she starts standing taller. She starts smiling more. She comes to my next group seminar, different lady. And a week later, she calls me and says, well, I'm interviewing for a new job.
Wow.
Like, what?
Wow.
I mean, in the course of 1 month working with her, she went from a very depressed, I don't know, we could call it depressed, to a woman who had held her head high, confident,
mm-hmm.
interviewing for a job she didn't even know she wanted.
Wow.
Got the job, interviewed, got the job, started the new job, loves the new job. It's just amazing. And that is because she found herself
yeah.
in the course of our work together. That
now,
was even part of the goals.
You truly you know? Are like a full service provider here, aren't you?
Well,
I
dial in for each person. I mean, it's very customized what I do, and I'm very lucky. And all the negative stuff doesn't stick; only the positive stuff sticks on me. So it's pretty easy.
It's
but
very
that
good.
I found what I'm supposed to do. That's what
great.
I do.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. You found your daydream.
Yeah, I did.
I'm going to have to start heading out. So before we do,
yeah.
I want you to let us know, let everyone know where they can find you and all the different routes to Betsy Muller.
Okay. Well, you could start by Googling me. My name is Betsy, Betsy Muller, Muller. And you'll probably find me that way. My website is createandconnectbrilliantly.com. I know that's long. That's why I said
mm-hmm.
Google me.
Yeah.
And my book is Energy Makeover, and the website for that is Energy Makeover, number 4, letter U, energymakeover4u.com.
Okay.
And I'm on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, and so I connect with people wherever, and if they get on my website and they want to arrange a consultation with me, there's a contact form to do so.
Right.
Okay?
Well, I've been on your site, and it's packed with information. People are really, really it'll be good for them to contact you. And I want to thank you for being on. It really was a pleasure. We could talk for 2 hours, but thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, thank you, John.
Okay. I have some final words here, and it's about working to be happy. I had a very active day this Monday. I woke up early, exercised, ate breakfast, worked on a few clients' financial plans. I put together a comparison report for a potential client, worked on my new book, and I prepped for the show. I had lunch, dinner, then I rented a movie. And since my wife was traveling, I did all of this and never spoke a word face-to-face with another person. Not one word. I'm sure you've done the same. A whole day without speaking to a real-life person. With technology and social media, it's pretty easy to do. Maybe too easy. Texting, tweeting, posting attachments to emails. You can run a business, write 3 novels and 2 short stories, a half dozen articles, and even host a radio show, all from the comfort of a home office. Hey, that's what I do. Well, that's not all true. That's what I used to do. All of those things still do happen, but I'm not sitting in my office all day. It took me a few years to learn this. Hopefully, I can help you skip a few steps. Here's the thing. There are times when you have to work hard to be happy. Sitting there staring out the window looking for the next thing to write, to invent, or create is all good. In fact, those have been some of my most productive moments. But there is a limit. It's bad for the soul to spend too much time alone. This is where the hard work comes in. To some not trained as a coach or a motivational speaker, I just do the simple stuff. I'm all about sweat equity. My first 3 novels were financial thrillers. So for motivation, I used to get on the train, then transfer to the subway downtown and roam around the financial district. I got to see some of my old haunts. One of my books had a scene in Central Park. So between meetings in the city, I strolled the park. I didn't take notes or spend any money. I just drank it in. I got a feel for it. Did that take a little work? Sure, but the benefits were worth it. You also have to make an effort to interact with others. I know very little about marketing or search engine optimization, but I started a networking group, and it was pretty easy, actually. I wrote an open letter to a Facebook group that I'm in. Now, the group disbanded, but from the context I made, I have four meetings this week. The first, of course, is this show, one with a financial client, another with an independent filmmaker, and another with a potential guest for my next show. Now, I'll have to schlep into the city four times, and it's unlikely that all of it will pan out. But I do know that I am going to have a fun week, and I'll spend time with some very interesting people. I may even get an idea for my next story or radio show. Hey, I'm a cranky curmudgeon. If I can do it, you can. So do the work to be happy. Just don't give up your daydream. Please visit us at don'tgiveupyourdaydream.webs.com. And I want to thank all the people who registered to the site after the last show to win the Jack Ryan basketball, Black Jack Ryan basketball. Really, it was a tremendous success, and we do have a winner. That winner is Aspen Granderson, which is an amazing name. But we will post that on our website. And please visit my website, which is johnnuckel.com, johnnuckl.com. And I want to thank you all for listening in, and be well.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.